Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Thyatira, the corrupt church. Father, we come before you and we ask your blessing on the teaching of your word, Lord, as we continue this series on end times in a study through the book of Revelation. God, I pray that you would speak to us mightily and that we would have ears to hear what your spirit is saying to your church in these days we're living. We love you, Lord, and lift this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fourth period of church history is represented by the Church of Thyatira. It's historically the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. It began around AD 606 and actually continues through our present age. Chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me give you a little background to this city. Thyatira was founded in the early 4th century by Seleucid I. Some believe it could have been founded by Alexander the Great a century earlier. The name Thyatira means continual sacrifice. It was a gateway that led to Pergamus, which was the capital city of Asia. Rome stationed their elite guard in Thyatira, because if Thyatira fell by an invading army, then the path would be clear to invade Pergamus. That means Thyatira's whole function in history, I mean, this is so amazing to me, was to fight a delaying action until Pergamus was ready to fight. It was a town fated to fight, be captured, destroyed, and then rebuilt. Today, the ruins of Thyatira cover the distance of about one block. The city also boasted of a special temple to Apollo, the sun god, which could explain why the Lord introduced himself as the Son of God. Actually, this is the only time in the book of Revelation we see this title used. The Church of Thyatira takes us back into a time known as the Dark Ages, around AD 590 to about AD 1000. I mean, it was really a dark, evil, and wicked time. The city had many trade guilds, and it would have been hard to make a living without participating in one of them. But these guilds practiced idolatrous rites when they got together. So the scriptures forbid Christians from practicing these idolatrous rites. So they came to the place where they had to choose to compromise in some way with idolatry. What happened if there came up in the church a self-professed prophetess symbolically called Jezebel? Because of the similarity of her influence on the church and to that of the original Jezebel on Israel. Jezebel was Ahab's wife. Ahab was ruler of Israel at the time. And she led a cult named Baal, worshiped to Baal. She had 250 prophets of Baal that she was over. So this Jezebel taught that idolatrous practices were allowed. She encouraged fornication and even was involved in it with members of the church. She actually gave her insights as the deep things of God. Jesus called them the depths of Satan. In many respects, the church in Thyatira was a good church. The Christians apparently had plenty of works. I mean, they had love. They were involved in service. Of course, they had faith and they had patience. In fact, their works were increasing. Jesus said the last are more than the first. But during this dark period of church history, many so-called Christian doctrines were established through a compromise of biblical doctrines and pagan teachings. So hold on to your seats. The ride is about to get rough. As a result of man-made religion, here's a list of doctrinal highlights of this church. Title of Pope given to Boniface III by Emperor Phocas, AD 607. Doctrine of kissing the Pope's foot, AD 709. Worship of the cross, images, and relics, authorized, AD 786. Use of holy water, AD 850. Canonization of dead saints by Pope John the 15th, AD 995. Canonization was a declaration of a deceased person to be an officially recognized saint. Fasting on Fridays during Lent, AD 998. Celibacy of the priesthood by Gregory the 7th. Priests and nuns were forbidden to marry, AD 1079. Now, that comes to me as a shock, because the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, believed Peter to be the first pope. Well, Peter was actually married. Remember, Peter's wife's mother was sick and Jesus healed her. We have that account in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, Mark chapter 1, verse 30, and Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Mechanical praying with beads, the rosary, invented by Peter the Hermit, AD 1090. The Inquisition, AD 1184. The Inquisition was a searching examination, or literally an investigation. Sale of indulgences, AD 1190. It was a remission of part or all of the temporal and especially purgatorial punishment that, according to Roman Catholicism, is due for sins whose eternal punishment has been remitted and whose guilt has been pardoned. Transubstantiation established, AD 1215. What is that? It's a change into another substance. So the sacraments, as we would take communion, we would use the grape juice, the wafer, or the cracker. Well, what they established here in AD 1215 is that the wine became literal blood and the bread became literally body and flesh. I mean, now, studying the scriptures, that could have come from John chapter 6, where Jesus clarified that his words were spirit and not to be taken as literal. Next, the establishment of the communion wafer, AD 1220. Then, the Bible forbidden to laymen. That means the people were not allowed to read the Bible. Only the priest could read the Bible. The priest would inform the people of God's message. That was AD 1229. The communion cup was forbidden to the people, AD 1414. And then there's the doctrine of purgatory decreed by the Council of Florence, AD 1439. Purgatory was said to be a holding place for the dead, those who had died without Christ. Now, my hunch is they got this from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, where Jesus gave the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the center of the earth, where if you died as a believer before Christ rose from the dead, you would go to a place called Abraham's bosom. It was in the center of the earth. There'd be a big gully, and then on the other side was Sheol, or referred to as Hades, where you, if you died without Christ, that's where you would go. The next was seven sacraments affirmed, including baptism, penance, holy communion, confirmation, holy matrimony, holy orders, and extreme unction, AD 1439. Ava Maria approved 1815-08, and that was using Hail Mary in the first words of a prayer. Next, the Jesuit priesthood order founded by Ignatius Loyola, AD 1534. Next was Roman Catholic tradition granted equal authority with the Bible, AD 1545. Amazing. The Apocrypha books. These are the historical books in the Catholic Bible between the Old and New Testament, between the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel, Matthew's Gospel. They were added to the Bible by the Council of Trent. Now, these books are not accepted as inspired literature by the Protestant movement, but they do contain historical information. And that was in AD 1546. Then we have Immaculate Conception of Mary, introduced AD 1854. Then the Syllabus of Errors, proclaimed by Vatican Council, AD 1864. Then there's the infallibility of the Pope declared, AD 1870. That meant that the Pope could not sin. He was infallible. He was like God. Then public schools condemned by Pius XI, AD 1930. Assumption of the Virgin Mary proclaimed by Pius XII, AD 1950. Then Mary proclaimed to be the mother of the church by Paul VI, AD 1965. The latest thing in the Roman Catholic Church is the process of making Mary, Jesus' mother, co-redemptive with Jesus Christ. Amazing, as we see the church evolving into this through the Dark Ages. Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic monk in the early 16th century, he tried to satisfy the requirements of the Roman Catholic Church by nearly starving himself to death. I mean, he literally beat himself into unconsciousness in a regular ritual of penance and remorse. He felt by abusing his body he could atone for his sins. But in his frustration, he was ready to leave the priesthood and give up the faith in God. Now, mind you, this is a Roman monk in the Catholic Church. He finally came to the conclusion there was nothing he could ever do to get rid of his sin. I mean to completely take his sin away. While reading the book of Romans, the doctrine of justification by faith alone opened his eyes. He came to the part that said in Romans chapter 1, the just shall live by faith. In 1517, Luther wrote his now famous 95-point thesis, and he nailed it to the door of the Wittenberg Church in Germany. Luther's thesis detailed 95 false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, needless to say, he was immediately excommunicated. This was the beginning of what we now know as a Reformation. One of the greatest heresies of the Roman Catholic Church, through its rituals, man-made traditions, and its practices, is a denial of the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's heresy. So they're saying you have to add all these things to this. This is what you have to do. All these doctrinal highlights that I gave you, those were all granted by the Roman Catholic Church as equal authority to God's Word, the Bible. Heresy. One of the false teachings of the Roman Church is the system of indulgences. And I mentioned that in the highlights. These were special graces granted by the church in exchange for money. This teaching and practice was authorized and heavily abused by Leo X around AD 1516 to 1517. This is how it worked. The people would come to a priest and they'd work out a price for the forgiveness of their sins. Heresy. Or they'd pay money for the early release of a loved one from purgatory, which of course was another false teaching. Let me tell you something about heresy. All heresy falls into one of two categories. First, the denial of the deity and personal lordship of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God. Second, the addition of any requirements for salvation other than faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we need a balance in our lives, a biblical balance, or we'll come to the place where we accept any kind of teaching that comes along. You know, like in every church, not everyone was unfaithful to the Lord. That's why Jesus had a special word for them, because of their faithfulness. You know what they did? They separated themselves from this false doctrine that was being added to God's word. They separated themselves from the compromising cultish practices of Jezebel and her followers. This separation was from things that were brought into the church. Jesus himself denounced these practices as the depths of Satan. I mean, how are you going to argue with God? That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. The key to all this is to repent. That's why the Lord says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Next time, the church of Sardis, the dead church, Revelation 3 verses 1 to 6, we believe it to be the beginning of the Protestant church. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that we're learning here in our study of end times, the book of Revelation. And I pray, Father, that you would open up our eyes and our hearts to know what your truth is, God, and what you want us to hear and understand. We love you and we praise you, Lord, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.